Thank you. Well, it's me again. If you were here, was it just a few weeks ago? Two, three, yeah, it was just a few weeks ago. Is this on? Good? Sounds good? All right, cool. If you were here, I preached just a few weeks ago. If you heard that one, cool. This one is kind of connected to that, but not exactly. And also, it's kind of a part of like the friendship series. It's adjacent enough, I feel like, that it fits, but it's like me. It's just a little different. Kind of fits, but a little different. And so that's just what we're doing today. If you were here and if you remember, if not, I'll give you a quick update. A few weeks ago, I preached about challenging others and the difficult task of challenging each other, holding each other accountable while not being judgmental. And this thin line that we walk that is a very complicated dynamic. And in it, I talked about how we want to make sure that what we are holding people accountable to is something that they actually want to be held accountable to. And then what I discussed as the thing that we are challenging each other to is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Okay, is everybody who was here, you remember that? Yeah, probably not. Sermons are hard to remember. I don't remember most of them either. It's fine. But the fruit of the Spirit is kind of like a reactive thing. Like, right, you see that afterwards, right? If you see someone's fruit in their lives, it's from something that they've done already that you're seeing, okay, this is the fruit that they're producing. I see, that's good. It's kind of a reactive following, a reactive accountability, if you will, and not a proactive. And so I was talking with someone a couple weeks ago, and we were just kind of talking about faith and Christianity, and it was like, what is the proactive? Like, what are we doing here? Like, how do we get to having the fruit of the Spirit being, you know, present and prevalent in our lives? How do we get there? Proactively, what are we holding each other accountable to so that we produce fruit? Yeah. And so it got me thinking about some things, and some of the questions they asked, they were a little bothersome to me, and I'll tell you why. But I think it's because this act of following Jesus, this act of becoming more like the people that God made us to be, it's a bit ambiguous, right? It's like, what are we actually called to? I think that if I were to break it down really as simply as possible, I think proactively, we're trying to follow Jesus, right? Like, we're trying to follow the way of Jesus, the way that we see in the gospel, the way that God is calling us to live, to become whole, to become the best version of ourselves, to become the people he made us to be. However you say that, there's a lot of different ways that you can say that. And there's a lot of different ways that people have said that in the past that maybe you don't want to identify because it carries other baggage, right? And so however you say that, like following the way of Jesus, that's the way that I like to say it. It's a bit ambiguous, right? It's like, what does that actually mean? There's a prayer that Jesus prays for us in John 17. And he uses a phrase that we've grabbed onto in Christianity and that we use a lot. And it's this phrase that they will be in the world, but not of the world, right? That is a phrase that if you were raised in the church or been around Christianity for any length of time, you've heard this phrase, right? In the world, but not of the world. And this phrase has been interpreted in so many different ways throughout the years. And one of my frustrations with the questions I was being asked in this conversation that I had a few weeks ago was that so many of these in the world, but not of the world concepts were being identified as like social norms or cultural values. And I don't think that cultural norms or culture in general has anything to do with what Jesus meant by being in the world, but not of the world. There is no cultural standard that is the universal standard of Christianity. Christianity exists and has existed throughout the centuries in a plethora of different cultures with different norms and different standards. And therefore, some cultural norm can't be, just simply cannot be the standard of Jesus. It can't be what Jesus meant by living in the world and not of the world. First of all, it would be impossible for Jesus to say this because he was a first century, he and all of the writers of the New Testament were first century folks living in occupied Palestine in a culture that was vastly different from us, in a time that was vastly different from us, and they would have no concept of understanding of the cultural norms that we might try and place on Christianity. Aside from that, Jesus wasn't really different than his culture. He didn't really live outside of the cultural norms of his time. He was Jewish, and he did Jewish things. He was a very Jewish man who followed the rules, more or less, you know, of Judaism. Obviously, he broke from some things. We get that. but that just, the cultural identity, it is not what it means to be a Christian. And yet we have conflated these two for so many years and in so many different settings. We've conflated them so much that some of us were even raised with like these quippy sayings, right? Like, I was trying to remember this saying. There's lots of different versions of it. Maybe you've heard a version of it yourself. The saying of like, don't cuss or drink or chew or go with girls that do. Has anybody heard that? Or some variation of that? Like, yeah, like this is what I mean, right? This is a cultural standard that has been placed on Christianity that really has nothing to do with the heart of Christianity. It's a cultural norm that we're trying to replace with a spiritual identity. And to this end, we have for years, we as the church, I mean, in all different variations of the church, it's not specific to the Church of God or to any one group, we've taken passages out of the Bible and kind of brought them out to try and form fit them into our culture. You know, like think about like, right, like Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, okay, I mean, that verse isn't about sports, but a lot of athletes use it, and that's fine. It's relevant, I suppose, because you can overcome adversity. But like, Paul was like practically dying, and sorry, I dropped Jesus off my platform here. Sorry, Jesus. and you know. And then there's plenty of examples, right? I'm just going to bring out a couple. You know, I've heard, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, when Paul is talking about your body is a temple, right? I've heard people use this for so many different things, for like dieting reasons or different food or like tattoos or like, but like this passage is about like uniting your body with a prostitute. Like it's very much about like sexual morality. Yet we just use it for like whatever's convenient for our culture because it's easy to do. My favorite one, and if you know me well, you'll know this is my favorite one, is the passage out of James that says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be so. And we act in our culture like that this is like curse words, right? Like we've made this about like these certain set of English words that have nothing to do with first century Palestine, especially. But also has nothing to do with cursing. Like cursing means like speaking harm on someone or like wishing damnation upon your enemy. Like cursing is a lot different than, you know, saying a particular swear word. Yet we've conflated the two to fit with our culture. But I digress. I have no interest in discussing what is and isn't unwholesome talk today. Although I could, maybe that's a sermon for another day. But my point is this, appearing culturally different by whatever, not going to see R-rated movies, or maybe for some of the older Church of God folks in the room, like not wearing neckties or not playing cards or whatever it is that culturally sets you apart, like this is not what the call of Jesus is about. What Jesus is praying for is not to be culturally different, but to be substantively, relationally different. Communally different. Oftentimes in scriptures, we see Jesus and the other New Testament teachers not even refer to actions as sins, but refer to motivations or the heart as the true misstep. Actions, you see, aren't as important as necessarily as what leads to the action. In Jesus's, you know, you've heard it said in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, but I tell you, you've heard it said, do not murder. But I tell you that even someone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. You see, the action isn't what Jesus is pointing out, but it's what leads us to the action. It's the heart. It's our motivations that cause us to step outside of the gospel. It's what causes us to step outside of what God wants for us. Or how about in Romans 12, when Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's no action item there, right? Like this is a call to Christ that has no specific, actionable step. But we all know, there are ways that we can do this, and there are ways that we can cause this to go wrong. And probably all of us have, right? Just saying something that you know is divisive, or being in a posture that you know is holding your opinion that matters more than someone else's feelings, or whatever, it's easy to quote unquote sin in this area or to step outside because it's really easy to get frustrated with people and to lash out. I do it. It's super easy, but again, there's no cultural norm here. There's nothing specific that has anything to do with culture that is being pointed out here. And here's why I'm saying all this. Here's the point that I want to get to. I think that culture is fine. Culture is important, right? Like, I live in a culture that I want to live in, and I think that's good, right? Like, there are plenty of cultures and people groups and social norms that I don't really associate with because I'm just not comfortable with that, or it doesn't really fit into who I want to be as a person. But I think it's really, really dangerous when we conflate cultural norms or just my societal desires with what it means to follow Christ. Those are not the same, and that's important. The body of Christ is very diverse, and it's very universal, and it can look a lot of different ways. And that doesn't mean you have to become part of a culture that you don't enjoy or like. That's fine. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, having cultural norms is good and helpful for society. It helps us to function. It helps us to get by. But what I want to say is about that is that I spend a lot of time with folks in my community who are either not believers, or they're ex-believers, or they're severely doubting or questioning believers that almost want nothing to do with the church. And they too are often surprised by the fact that, like, because their culture is different, that's not the same as being a follower of Christ. They're often surprised when they look at me and see that I don't maybe represent the standard culture of Christianity that they expect. They're shocked by this. And when we conflate the two, it can be like, it can become an all or none thing. Like, if I don't want to be like that particular culture of Christianity, then I'm not going to be a Christian at all. And I just think that's just a bunch of garbage. I don't think that needs to be true. And I don't think that's what Jesus has called us to. So then the question is, what does Jesus call us to? Right? I know I said at the beginning, it's ambiguous and it's difficult. And that's true. I'm not going to like stand up here today and give you like a 3-point of like, this is all the things Jesus calls us to. And it's just as simple as that. And like, go and do better. Like that's not possible because it's more complicated than this, but I'm going to try to break it down as simply as I can. Jesus calls us to be the church. And the church is this weird word that has so much meaning in our current society. But the church is just this simple word from the New Testament that's been like twice translated and not super well, in my opinion. But it just breaks down from the Greek word ekklesia, which means community. Jesus is calling us to live in a way that honors God and puts loving each other, our neighbors, and our enemies well. It's the good news is this call to just be a people who are seeking to know and understand God as best we can and to love others as best we can. But I'm going to tell you what, Community, right? Okay, oh yeah, Jesus calls us to community. That's something. Have y'all lived in community? That stuff's hard. Living in community with people is hard. It's very difficult, and it's easy to rub up against each other and just drive each other nuts. As I've spent time with my neighbors who aren't believers, I've come to see some really, I've just been blown away by the similarities in community. Like, it's just consistent. Communities are just consistent. I don't care what group you seek to be a part of. I don't care what group you are a part of or what group you left. Communities are consistent. Whether it's the church, your neighborhood, a social club, a sports team, your work family, whether you're urban, rural, Democrat, GOP, or LGBT, community is not that different. Like, it's frustrating. It's hard to work together. It can be very unnerving at times. You can want to leave. You can want to give up. Like, being a person is difficult. Like, we don't all have the same perspective. We don't all see the same things, and it's hard. But there is a call from Christ that is remarkably different from the world. And this is what I think Jesus was praying for. And I truly believe that the gospel is an irresistible light that sets following Jesus apart from anything else. Let me remind you that the church is one of the communities I called out just there. Because we don't always get this right in church either, right? Y'all know, being in church long enough, like, church life is hard too. And we don't always follow the way of Christ in all of our actions. We screw up, and it happens. But man, the gospel that Jesus calls us to is so good and so irresistible. So again, I don't have all the answers, but I just want to point out a quick rundown of a few things that I've observed in my short 37 years here on life. And this is what I think the world needs. This is what it means to be different. This is what it means to live in the world, but not of the world. These things, I believe, are callings of Christ that really set us apart. I'm just going to go through them quickly. Number one, forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. And I'm telling you what, like I said, in all the communities I've been a part of, man, people don't like to forgive. And it is unique. It is unique to sit down with someone that you have just either hurt or been hurt by and to seek reconciliation, to figure out, to listen and to maybe accept your own fault in the situation, to maybe ask for forgiveness, to seek to be reconciled with another person. Man, that ain't the world. The world will just cancel you. The world just says, I'm out. You hurt me. That's on you, bro. I'm done. Now, I'm not saying there are some relationships that need to be walked away from. Okay, I just want to clarify that. But man, forgiveness is not something I see in any community. And it is a call of Christ that is unique. For Jesus said, for if you forgive those that sin against you, you will also be forgiven. Forgiveness is healing for us just as much as it is for the other person. And I think to listen and accept fault in some situations and to hear another's perspective and to give grace is something that is truly a gospel attribute. Which accepting fault and giving grace leads me to number two. And that is humility. Man, I talked about this like I think two sermons ago, kind of ad nauseum. So I'm not going to go too much into it. But man, everybody just out there in here sometimes just feels like you just got to be so dang smart. You just got to know everything, right? You can't just not know things, right? Like humble is weak. Humble is not how you get ahead. Humble's not the way of the world. Everybody's out there just so friggin' sure of themselves. Like, but Jesus calls us to something different. Humility and meekness are not weak. The passage I used in my message a few weeks ago was Galatians 5 that says that we are to serve one another humbly in love. And then in Philippians, it says that Jesus Christ, your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ, who made himself nothing and took on the nature of a servant. man, humility is not something that I see very often. And it's what sets us apart. It's what sets the way of Jesus apart. The way of Jesus is to walk confidently in love, but humbly in approach. And the community of Christ is a diverse one, which means there's going to be a lot of different opinions that show up here in the church. And guess what? That takes humility too. Listen to each other, accept each other, give grace. Humility is paramount, but man, it's tough. And the final one for today, remember, this is not a comprehensive list by far. The final one for today is hope. Man, we live in a pretty hopeless world, y'all. It's rough out there. The world needs hope. And I don't just mean in some eschatological escape. Like, we have that hope in Christ with the hope of the afterlife and the things to come, but that's not even what I'm talking about right now. We have a hope that God is reconciling the world back to himself, and he calls us to be reconcilers right alongside with him. It's this hope that is here and now, this hope that is being a part of this blessed community that makes life better. It makes life worth moving on. Community, when it is truly the way of Jesus, makes this life better. It makes our communities better. It makes our decision-making processes better. It makes our pursuits and our passions and our dreams better. We have that hope that the gospel is good news. The hope that love is stronger than hate and life is more powerful than death. Jesus said in John 10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and life to the fullest. That's what being a part of the beloved community means, is that we have this hope that this way of Jesus is different and it gives us a good life. It's not always easy, but it's good. That following out, like being people of forgiveness and humility, like these are ways that will make our lives substantively better. And so those are my three. That's it. There's lots more, but those are the three that when I think about my life and I think about all my interactions and I think about this difference of being like culturally not of the world or like really substantively and relationally not of the world, this is the stuff that's irresistible. This is the stuff that I feel Jesus is calling us to. The way of Jesus is different and it is good. And we are called to live in the world, but not of the world. But let's not conflate the two. Let's not presuppose that my cultural way is necessarily everyone's cultural way. But let's think deeper to what it means to be a people of Jesus, to be a people that produce the fruit of the Spirit like I talked about 2 weeks ago. I truly believe, despite everything that's going on in the world, and all of the doubts that I have had in my own life, that following the way of Jesus is irresistible. That it's the best way to experience hope and wholeness and reconciliation in this world. But if we get caught up in the cultural norms, if we focus on being different in ways that ultimately don't matter, we've lost the script and we've turned something that is irresistible into something that is irrelevant. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful that you have called us to be people of the gospel. God, we're so grateful that you have called us to be a beloved community that loves each other, our neighbors, and even our enemies. What a calling it is, God, to be in the world and not of the world. To be a people who are called to something that is holy, a love that is stronger than hate, forgiveness, humility, grace. God, we thank you for just giving us this truth that has been passed down through generations. We thank you for the ministry of Jesus. We thank you for the church that has spoken your truth throughout the ages. And God, we pray that you would help us to be set apart. That you would help us to love fiercely in a way that is so irresistible that people are drawn to become more like the people you created them to become a more whole version of themselves. God, what a gift it is. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.